So this summer, we've been learning the traits of people that give out good vibes in hopes that we give out those good vibes so other people see who Jesus is. We have 2 weeks left, this week and next. This week, what we're going to learn about is humble people give out good vibes. Humble people give out good vibes. Humility is a strange thing because some think it's never admitting that you excel at something. Some think that humility is never admitting that you excel at something. So someone says to you, wow, you're really good at that. And you're like, no, I'm not. No, I'm just humble, you know. No, I stink at that. There's been many people. Like, that's kind of like false humility, okay? The correct way to respond, somebody encourages you, say, hey, thanks for the kind words. That means a lot for me. Thanks for noticing. I take that very serious. I put a lot of time into it. Those are not prideful statements. They're basically thanking people for noticing. Another strange thing about humility is this. We can never say, I am a humble person. Okay, you can't say, like, I'm a humble person. People are like, no, you're not, okay? You just told me you were. So it's really a strange thing, right? So how do we display humility? First, let's kind of define it. Webster's dictionary defines humility as freedom from pride or arrogance. Freedom from pride or arrogance. Holman's Bible Dictionary defines humility as this: a personal quality in which an individual shows dependence on God and respect for others. So these are two great working definitions. So here's what I want to do. I want to break this down into two areas. The first definition from Webster focuses in on the two negatives, pride and arrogance. These two oppose humility, and these will ultimately send out bad vibes. So in order to give out good vibes, like Webster's dictionary says, we need freedom from this. We need to be freed from this pride and arrogance, and we need to be delivered into dependence on God and respect for other people. So before we learn how to be free from this pride and arrogance, let's look at what pride and arrogance can actually lead to. So pride, as defined, is this: undue confidence in and attention to one's own skills, accomplishments, possessions, and position. So it's undue confidence in and attention to. So basically it's like, hey, look at me. I'm the best. Look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Everybody should listen to me because I know what's going on. So that would be a prideful way of looking at yourself. Interestingly enough, pride is not always doing things that bring personal gain as far as success and money is concerned. Many times, pride is simply the desire that we have for people to look at us in a certain way, or to be important and to be noticed. And if you're living in this culture, which you are, you realize this is very important to people, right? To be important, to be noticed. I mean, social media kind of underlines this whole kind of viewpoint. Like, look at me, notice me. But sometimes, like I said, it's not just about success and money. It's just about the way we want others to perceive us. So Soren Kierkegaard said this about pride. He said, the proud person wants to do the right thing, the great thing, but he wants to do it in his own strength. He's fighting not with man, but with God. So basically, the proud person is saying, I've accomplished. Look at me. Look how great I am. So seeing it this way, we can say pride is a form of self-reliance. Let's find out what the scriptures have to say about what this self-reliance pride can actually lead to. The first thing is this self-reliance pride can lead to rejecting God. Psalm 10:4 says this way: in the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. All his thoughts are, there is no God. See, the first thing is, our pride can actually keep us from trusting in who God is and what he's done for us. I know many of you have trusted in Christ, but for those of you who might be struggling, who might be curious, or maybe you know somebody in your life that hasn't yet, you know what? Pride actually keeps us from accepting who God is and what he's done. Because the first step is this. The first step for salvation is this. It's admitting that I am a sinner. Admitting that I need a savior. Because many times in pride, people say this. They say, I don't need to be saved. I'm a good person. If there is a God and he's going to accept people, of course I'm going to be one that he accepts because I'm a good person. I'm not as bad as that person, or I try my best. So that's kind of a prideful way of looking at things, because what the scriptures tell us is this, that we are all sinners and we need a savior. That savior's name is Jesus. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. 3 days later, he rose again to prove that he is God. And the scriptures say, all who believe will have eternal life. So if you look at Christ and what he's done and say, I don't need that, that is pride, okay? That is pride and rejection. God loves you and he wants you to actually accept him. But in order for you to accept him, you have to let down your pride. And you have to say, I actually do need him. I need a savior. I can't save myself. I can't do this on my own. He loves me and I'll accept his forgiveness. I'll accept who he is and what he's done. But you know what? As a believer, you might believe that, right? You might believe that Jesus has done that. But our pride can also keep us from following his commands. When we're acting wicked, that psalm says, the wicked do not seek him. When we're acting wicked, when we're going the wrong way, we don't seek God. We don't seek his guidance. We don't seek after what he tells us to do, which brings us to the next thing that pride can lead to, and that is disgrace. Proverbs 11:2 says it this way. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. So what this proverb is saying is reminding us that when we rely only on what we know, we can bring disgrace to our lives. Or in other words, we can make very dumb decisions. When we rely on only what we know, when we don't look to godly wisdom, when we don't look to God's word and God's people to actually help us and guide us, here's what happens. We can make very dumb decisions. We can actually go down the wrong road because we're not looking at sound wisdom. We're just looking at what we know because we think we have it all together. Now, humble people are wise because they open themselves up to the wisdom from God and from godly people. Humble people ask questions. They listen. They learn from seeing the mistakes of other people. Humble people are those people that are like, you know what? What can I learn here? And that does not mean you just look up to people that are older than you. You can look to all different age groups to see what you can learn from them. Some of you here that are parents, you've learned a ton from your kids, haven't you? Just observing them, just parenting them, just being around them. And they have probably reminded you of where you're going wrong in certain areas, right? They have those little voices just say, hey, you know what? In Sunday school, they taught me this. What are you doing, Mom and Dad? What? Okay. So here's the thing. Humble people listen to that. Humble people listen to that. Prideful people don't listen to that. And finally, pride can lead to actually destruction. Some of you know this proverb. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before the what? The fall or destruction. Proverbs 29:23 also says, one's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. See, we can destroy a lot in our lives because of our pride. We can destroy our finances. We can destroy our relationships, even our own lives. The first sin, do you realize this? The first sin that was committed was by Lucifer. Does anybody know what it was? It was pride, okay? And that led us down this road to destruction. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When we're prideful and we're not seeking after God, which eventually will lead to the second negative of Webster's definition, and that is arrogance. Okay? If you're looking for friends, if you're looking for, you know, maybe companionship in life or some friends, and you have this list of character traits, I can guarantee arrogance will not be on that list. Like, I want some arrogant friends. I love people who know it all, okay? And, you know, tell me they know it all the time. You ever gone to a barbecue or a party or something like that, and, you know, you don't know many people, so you're starting to make small talk, and you wind up making small talk with the arrogant guy? You're just like, oh, where's the bathroom? I gotta get out of here, okay? Because they know everything, okay? You talk about something, they know something about it, okay? And you're just like, oh man, this person. Arrogance is this. It's an attitude of superiority manifested in an overbearing manner, okay? So they think they're better, but they tell you, okay? They're overbearing about it. And you know what arrogance can lead to? The first is this. Arrogance can lead to displeasing the Lord. Proverbs 16:5 says this. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured he will not go unpunished. See, the Lord is not only displeased with arrogance, but abomination means that he's disgusted with it. Because we're living as if we're better than other people. That's basically what we're doing. When we're arrogant, we're living as if we are better than other people. You know what? Our culture fuels this, right? This I'm better than you mindset. Elevating fame, elevating fortune to the point in which we only value people who have more, who have attention, who have fame. We listen to those people. That's what our culture has kind of made us do, right? Our culture is like, oh, these are the people who must have something to say because they're successful. But think about it. So we look at that fame, fortune, like success. But think about it now. Think about it on the social media level. Okay, the social media level. And here's the thing, I'm not anti-social media. I don't believe that Christians should just pull back and never be involved in some of that stuff, because here's the truth. It is social, right? And we can be an impact to people on there. But here's what social media has kind of done to our culture. And you know, I've talked about this with many people. I'm concerned, okay? Is anybody else concerned? I'm concerned of what the future looks like because of this connection like this. But social media is announcing everything cool that we do in hopes that others will look to us and admire us or think something better of us. Announcing all our accomplishments, announcing who we're hanging out with. Again, I realize there's a place for this, but this and part of our culture, but here's what I want to suggest, okay? If you're struggling with this, like social media, if you're thinking, oh, you know what? I need people to respect me. I need people to think I'm something. I need this. And you're never going to say this out loud, right? You're never saying this out loud, but it's this feeling. Obviously, something is missing, okay? So you want validation from other people. So here's what I would suggest. If you're looking for validation and you try to find that in that like social media type platform, here's what the scripture said. Before you post, I mean, the scripture doesn't say don't post on Facebook, okay? So before you post, here's what you want to do. I challenge you to commit this verse to memory. It's Proverbs 27:2. It says this, let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Think about that for a second. And if you're thinking right now, well, how's somebody going to praise me if I don't post it? You've totally missed the point, okay? Totally missed the point. Here's what you just think about. Why are you doing this? Why are you seeking out this validation? Why are you acting in arrogance to say, like, I want people to look to me? The next thing arrogance can lead to is even more detrimental, and that is missing the Lord's will. I want you to turn to James chapter 4. That was our scripture reading for today. If you can't turn there, you could just listen. James chapter 4, picking up in verse 13, it says this. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All boasting is evil. Now, James is not saying, don't misunderstand this. James is not saying here that we should not make plans. He's not saying like, oh, you just get up and whatever happens, happens. Like, he's not saying that, okay? He's not saying that at all. Nor is he saying, make all your plans, but then in front of your Christian friends, look really spiritual, be like, if the Lord wills, okay? He's not saying that either. What he's teaching us is this. We need to seek out the Lord's will in every situation, in every circumstance. Meaning you're making decisions. Maybe you're making financial decisions for the future. Bible never says don't do that. But you need to seek the Lord's will in that. Maybe you're making career decisions. Maybe you're making parenting decisions. Maybe you're making college decisions. Whatever decisions you're making, Jesus actually cares about that stuff. And you know what? It's arrogant for you to think that you're doing it on your own or you can handle it on your own. In other words, thinking and believing it all depends on me is totally wrong. And you know, our culture wrongly teaches this. And you know, as parents, I know I made this mistake, I would call it now, okay? But you know what? The thing is, our culture feeds this to our kids, and I'm not going to call out any mega huge company that puts out a ton of movies that tells kids things like this. If you believe in yourself, you could do whatever you set your mind to. Have you heard this? If you believe in yourself. You know what, guys? If I believe in myself, I can do whatever I set my mind to, can I? Right? Don't you want to encourage me? Can I do that? You guys are all confused right now, aren't you? You're like, wait, is this in the Bible? Okay, it's not, okay? It's not. If I believe in myself, that does not mean I could do whatever I set my mind to, okay? But if I trust in Christ and look to him for guidance, I'm going to be living in his will. And guess what? That's better than anything I can set my mind to. And it's probably better than anything that you can set your mind to. If you make plans without going to the Lord, you may be turning a blind eye to what his will actually is for your life. You get that? You might be turning a blind eye to what God actually desires from your life. If you're prideful, if you're arrogant, listen to what Pastor Charles Spurgeon said in one of his messages. This is what he said. He says, every Christian has a choice between being humble or being humbled. Okay? You get that? Being humble or being humbled. Spurgeon said this because he knew the scriptures. If you ever go through the Old Testament, if there was anybody that was prideful, if there was anybody that was arrogant, God usually found a way to humble him. Sometimes he used other people. Sometimes he did it at his own hands and humbled people because they were prideful and arrogant. Let me just tell you this. We will all hit a wall sometime in our life. You might be sitting here and you might be like, I'm not prideful, but I don't depend on God. Okay? You might just think, I'm not prideful, but you're actually acting in pride. And we're all going to hit a wall at some point in our life. And let me just tell you, that wall will be this. There's a problem that we can't handle. It might be at work. It might be a financial problem. It might be a relational problem. It might be a health problem. It might be a marriage problem, a family problem. The list goes on and on. You are going to hit a wall at some point in your life that you will say, I can't handle this. I can't handle this. That's a humbling time, isn't it? Especially if you've handled a lot or you thought you've handled a lot in the past. It's going to be a humbling time. Now, C.S. Lewis rightly said this. He said, a proud man is always looking down on things and people. And of course, as long as you're looking down, you can never see something that's above. Here's what happens. When we're prideful, it affects everything. Okay, we think we can handle everything. We think we have it all under control. We're looking down at our kingdom, at our stuff, at what we can handle. And we're looking then down on other people because, of course, if we're prideful and arrogant and the other people aren't as successful and accomplished and well-to-do and as smart as I am, of course, look at them. Here's what happens. If you continue to look down, you're never going to look up, and that's where you need to look. When you hit that wall, you are going to need to look up. So you have a choice. You can be humble. You can look up before you hit the wall, right? Or you can be humbled when you finally hit the wall. It's going to happen at some point. So that brings us to that second definition from the Holman Bible Dictionary, like a biblical definition of humility. And that is a personal quality in which an individual shows dependence on God and respect for other people. Dependence on God and respect for other people. These two are the positives. Looking up, right? Looking up. Dependence on God and respect for other people. Dependence on God, the first. Dependence on God. Danielle Strickland said it this way. True humility is agreeing with God about who you are. Okay? Agreeing with God about who you are. Let me just tell you who you are. And the reason why I know who you are is because I'm that person too. We are sinners saved by grace. Okay? We are sinners saved by grace. We all do wrong things. We all sin, and we're saved by grace. I am loved by God. He saved me. He loves me. He cares deeply for me. He's got my back. I want you to turn to Psalm 62. Psalm 62 reminds us, it reminds us that when we depend on God, we depend on God for salvation, but we actually depend on Him for everything in our life. So Psalm 62, if you can't get there, you could just listen. Or you can go there on your Bible app if you're using that. Psalm 62, verses 5 through 10, says this. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rest my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock. My refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is our refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. So what this passage is saying is, of course, God is the rock of my salvation. But David then says this, and I should trust in Him when? At all times. I trust in Him. I don't just trust in Him for my salvation. I trust in Him at all times. When is that? At all times. Meaning I trust in Him with my money, with my health, with my kids, with my job, with my marriage, with my friendships, with my family, with every relationship that I have. No matter what, I need to trust in Him at all times. That's dependence on God. When I do that, I learn humility. Why? Because I'm admitting who's in charge, okay? I'm admitting He is in charge. I need to depend on Him. It's not about me. It's about Him. He's the one that's going to help me. He's the one that's going to deliver me. He's the one that's going to help me when I hit that wall, when I'm humbled. Because there's going to be areas of my life where, you know what? I might think I'm humble, and in my brain I'm thinking like, yeah, I'm doing pretty good there. But now, like, I think I have it all together. And God's like, no, you actually don't. You need me. You need to focus on me. You're trying to do this on your own. Don't go down that road. Don't go down that road. Choose humility rather than being humbled. Then dependence on God, this is interesting, leads to this, respect for others. Respect for others. Think about this for a second. Prideful and arrogant people look at others for what they have, for what they have accomplished, what title they hold, or even worse, what they can get out of them. That's how prideful and arrogant people look. Yeah, we don't want friends like that. We don't want people around us like that because they're just looking at people for what they have accomplished. They don't respect others for the reasons that God desires us to respect other people. See, as believers, we should respect others because they are loved by God. And God offers forgiveness to anyone that believes. You get that? So no matter what social class they're in, no matter who they are, no matter what they've accomplished, when you're a humble person, you actually look at somebody and say, they're a person, and God loves them. I mean, think about this. If somebody taught you this, imagine if somebody taught you this when you were 5 years old, or imagine that first day of school in kindergarten. If every kid got that, respect other people because God loves them and God cares for them. They're a creation of God. And imagine going through a whole entire school year, a whole entire school career, and everybody acted like that. There would be no bullying. There would be no social classes like that because everybody would look at each other as God designs us to look at each other. to respect other people because God loves them and offers them forgiveness as well. But you know what? There's another layer because, you know, maybe that might be easy for many of you to respect other people because they are a creation of God. But there's another layer because, you know what? We have authorities over us, right? We have authorities over us. And it's hard for people to be humble and submit to their authorities. And even the word submit, people are like, I don't like this, okay? Is he ending? It's like 5 to 11, okay? Here's the thing. People don't like to submit to their authorities, do they? But let's look at what 1 Peter says. 1 Peter, you don't have to turn there because it'd probably take too long. So 1 Peter chapter 2, 13 says this. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. This does not sound popular, okay? Whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. That's the role of government. They're supposed to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. They're supposed to protect us and institute justice. Verse 15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. Think about it this way. Here's what Peter's teaching us. He's saying, you know what? As a believer in Christ, if you're going to give out good vibes and you're going to be a light, you respect people. You honor the brotherhood, you respect one another, but you also live in accordance to those above you. You submit to your authorities. And here's what he says, I love this. If you look at it, what does he say? He says, when you live like this, you're going to shut foolish people up. Anybody want to shut foolish people up? Yeah, I think I can get an amen to that one, right? So here's the thing. When you are that respectful person, when you live your life dependent on God, and when you live your life respecting other people, guess what? You will give out good vibes. Humble people give out good vibes.